Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson, and this evening we'll be having awkward conversations about money. Whether we have it or we don't, money is a constant in our everyday lives. Its presence or absence, as the case may be, is felt as we go about our business every single day. So why is it so hard to talk about? Saying to a friend, hey, I'm tapped until payday, is hard enough. But what about those conversations we have to have? Conversations like, Mom, do you have anything set aside for assisted living? Or, honey, shall we take a loan for this cruise or fix the roof instead? Why do they have to be so fraught? And although we want our kids to learn to manage money and be smart about it, we don't have the first clue how to talk to them about it. And besides, our finances are none of their business, right? It's awkward conversations about money tonight on Community Conversations. Let's meet our guests.
Elena Johannesson, Program Director with Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota.
I'm Jenna Perez. I'm a financial counselor with Lutheran Social Service Financial Counseling.
Well, we thought that since it was April, it was a good time to have some conversations about money. And we thought, well, all right, let's just jump into this. If we're going to do it, let's jump in with both feet and let's talk about awkward financial conversations. Heard of awkward prom photos? This is kind of the conversational equivalent. Let's talk about talking with your kids about money. There's a lot of emotional, it seems like there's a lot of emotional baggage that surrounds that topic. So if you want to do it right from the beginning, where do you start?
I think you start with just teaching small moments with children and as early as you possibly can. I think savings is a big piece of it, teaching them to put a little bit away for a rainy day and starting small. It doesn't have to be $1,000 here and there. When they're little, it can be give them a quarter every week and teach them just that dollar saved, you know, is a huge thing for the future. And then also just money moments. I don't think you have to tell children, how much you make. I think it's more about what's in the budget. So if they know that, gosh, these clothes are they need to last you for a month or 2 months or whatever it might be, and toys and that sort of thing, they need to know it's not in the budget if there's anything more that they're asking for.
Yeah, along those lines, I think it's common for kids to always hear, oh, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. And it's a negative connotation. So they're always thinking, oh, money is something negative. And kind of as Elena was touching on, instead of using those words, as a kid gets a little bit older, showing them what the budget looks like. And, you know, every family is going to have their own guidelines with how much they want their kids involved. But as long as they're aware that there are things we have to pay for. And so maybe instead of saying, you know what, honey, we can't afford that, saying, you know what, that's not in the budget. And as the kid starts to understand, okay, we're living on a budget, it'll change their mindset. Another coworker of mine said with her daughter, what she would do is every year she would give her daughter the amount of money that she was. So she was 8 years old. She would get $8 with every paycheck that she would get. She was a single mom. She didn't have a lot of money. So she would get $8. And with that $8, it would save that dramatic breakdown in the grocery store when the little girl goes, but I want gum, Mom, but I want gum, but Mom, I want that Snicker bar, I want that Snicker bar. And the mom would say, okay, did you bring your money with? And she would say, no, I didn't. And she would say, okay, well, I'm sorry, you know that you have the money to cover that. And so it was a learning moment every time they went to the grocery store or the toy store. And so her daughter started learning from a young age, okay, I have my money, and if I want to blow it all on 8 packs of gum today, well, then you can't get that toy when we go to the toy store. So you start learning even as a little girl that I can save up my money and buy something big, or I can experience the consequences.
And I think the biggest thing too with parents is leading by example. So I think if children see that you're spending and not saving, that's probably how they're going to turn out. I know that's the case with a lot of people that we see. You know, it's what you learn. You learn those things from a very young age. Even if the parents don't think that your kids are learning that, they're learning it. They're watching and soaking up every little thing that you do. So if they see you save money and are budget conscious and are aware of what you're spending and setting limits for yourself, they're going to follow that as well.
Definitely. We see that with our clients all the time. A family who has, you know, a lot of credit card debt, well, their kid will make an appointment. Their adult kid will make an appointment a week later because they have a lot of credit card debt. Or a family who has filed bankruptcy, often the kids follow trait. They follow the example their parents lead with.
At what point can you start talking to a child and letting them know about things like, well, yes, there is a mortgage to pay, there is a gas bill to pay, there's an electric bill to pay, there's the cable bill to pay, there's the car insurance to pay. At what point can you start to share some of these realities of life with kids without having the kids sit in their room and go, oh, you know, how do adults do it? We don't know, by the way.
I think you start, it depends on the kid. I think you're going to know, you're probably going to have that gut instinct and know what age that is. And as soon as you kind of feel that, which is likely going to be teenage years, I would say, you know, 15, 16, 17, just getting them involved, even if it's little things. Like you said, you don't necessarily want to say, we have the mortgage, we have the utility bills, we have this, 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 but start with one thing. Okay, so we have to make sure that we have this money for the gas bill this month, and then maybe build it up after that, you know, however long you kind of feel that out with the child and see however long it takes them to really understand that, and then keep adding on and saying, okay, now really here's what a budget should look like. And this is something that you're going to want to do when you're older. I think one of the things that's really missing in schools these days is that financial education and teaching kids like that, because parents usually don't. In most cases, they don't. They don't teach kids how to do a budget. I was never taught that, and I don't know that any of my friends were either. So it really needs to be as young as you can, starting small, and then just kind of building that up as they get older.
But I'm wondering about showing your child one bill at a time without necessarily letting them know what the paycheck is, but to say, here is the gas bill.
In my experience, it is very beneficial. And I think parents are scared to do it because it's overwhelming to them at times. And so I think, again, like Elena said, you gauge your child's personality. But if your child is responsible, maybe they have a part-time job already and they're making money, and you can say, okay, well, when you are in our shoes, these are the kind of bills that you will be facing. And this is why we can't be a bank constantly giving you money. And you see how hard it is to work and earn money. And we have to use our money to pay bills. And I think it's completely fine to show them certain bills. But again, you know, if your kid isn't there emotionally yet or struggles with anxiety already, maybe that's not the time. But if you feel that your kid can handle it, most definitely, I think it's very eye-opening for kids to see, wow, my mom and dad are paying this much for all of my living expenses. I had no idea. And then they appreciate it at a different level.
And I think it's important for them to know, too, that money, just as cliche as it sounds, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, back in the day when I wanted something, I would always say, can't you just write a check? Not even thinking that there was a limit on where that money came from.
I must still have money because I still have checks left.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that is really important, because that's where in our line of, you know, work, we see credit card debt come from all the time. And I think it's really important for them to know that, guess what? There is a limit. No, I cannot write a check. And I think it is important to say no sometimes. Like Jenna said, you know, you want to frame it the right way and say it's not in the budget, not that we can't afford it. But I think it's also important to say no when kids are asking for certain things too.
What about families that are really, that are living really close to the bone? Is there a way to make money something more positive instead of this overwhelming thing in their lives that they don't have?
Even if that's there, that might not go away. But I think it's important to really spend time with each other then instead. So instead of making a big deal about Christmas presents or going out and spending all this money, really doing things and making memories. Again, may sound cheesy, but it's really true. I think back to my childhood, I really don't remember what big toys I got. I remember my Aunt Anita's homemade candy. Like, it was the best gift we ever got in the whole world. So I really think it is more about doing things, spending time, and that sort of thing, as opposed to just money. And it still boils down to teaching. You know, you want to teach, set limits, and show them that, okay, this is how much money we can, or that we have to spend. Here are the bills we have to pay. But I probably would hold back on showing that, trying to not show that stress, even though it's hard. but just really focusing on helping them improve themselves so that they don't have to be in those exact same shoes when they get older. And there are so many things nowadays. I've blogged about them, but you can Google, you can go on Pinterest if you have free access to internet and find a bajillion things. Yes, a bajillion to do for free.
You counted them. You're a financial professional.
Right.
You
That's
know
right.
that number.
That's the technical term. But you can find so many things to do on the cheap for free, crafts, going out events, even in, you know, right in Duluth, there are a lot of free things that families can just go do for free with their kids.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're having awkward conversations about money this evening, and our guests in the studio are Elena Johansson, Program Director with Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota, and Jenna Perez, a financial counselor with Lutheran Social Services Financial Counseling.
With all of the different ways that we can couple and uncouple, you meet somebody and you think they're kind of groovy. Before you get married, what are some of the conversations about money that you need to have?
I think the first thing is just to have those conversations, because I think a lot of times that they just don't happen at all. And that's where a lot of the problems can start. So even if it's just getting on the table, I think it probably is going to be when you start living together. I don't know that you need to start talking about it when you're just dating and living separately. But when you start living together or right before, I think that's when you really need to talk about where is this money coming from for rent or mortgage or whatever it might be, and who is responsible for what. You know, do you have joint bank accounts? Do you not? I think certain things work for some people that don't work for others. Personally, my husband and I have a joint account, and then we each have a separate account. So we pay bills out of the joint, and then we have our separate for other things. So I think it's really important to make those decisions and decide with each other what that looks like.
And to be open and upfront about your debt before you get married or start living together. I think so often people are ashamed of their debt and they want to hide it. And they think, oh, he or she would be shocked if they knew how much money I have spent on this or that. And when you get married or when you're living together, you're going to find out. And it's better to deal with that beforehand and have a plan of action so that you don't all of a sudden start living together and realize, oh, we have $10,000 in credit card debt and $8,000 still on our vehicle and $12,000 in student loans. And then all of a sudden, how are we going to deal with this? It's better to have a plan and be honest and upfront with each other from the beginning.
And you probably can't completely resolve everything. You know, if you're going to split up down the road, there's no way to predict the future and say, okay, yep, we're going to have this amount of debt at that time or this house or that house. But it's, you know, it's really like, I think it's just exactly what Jenna said, is really being upfront about it right away so that you're both on the same page, so that it's minimal impact down the road if there is a split.
How do you start to evaluate the other person with an eye toward, you know, you say, well, do we like the same movies and do we like the same music and do we like our families? How do we approach money should maybe be a part of that conversation, do you think?
In a lot of our counseling sessions, I have to say, I am not a marriage counselor because finances bring so many issues to the table. And I would say 80 to 90% of the people, the couples that meet with me, one is a spender. And one is a saver. One views money as a financial security. We need to save our money. And the other views it, I've got 10 bucks. What can I buy with 10 bucks? And my husband and I are exactly that way. And I don't think our marriage is falling apart as a result of it. But my husband, who might be more prone to spend, has given me the ability to pay the bills. And he has an allowance each month that he gets out of his check. Elena and her husband have separate accounts, which is their own money. We have allowances that we have so that we are on the same page where, okay, we have to pay all the bills. And then once that's said and done, the leftover money we are going to save, which is what I want to do. And then my husband has his amount that he can go and buy whatever he wants. And I feel like so often, just opposites attract in general. And so if you're going to filter every guy or girl that comes to, are you a saver? Are you a spender? Do you have a 401k? No one's getting married. But I think if you have that conversation, okay, you know, I am more prone to spend. Let's just be honest. I like my trips and I like my things. And I can see that you have a couple thousand in savings as a college student. So you got it going on. Maybe you should be in charge of handling our finances and set an amount for us to have fun with each month.
Jenna just made a great point, too, that we see a lot of times people coming in sometimes don't even know that their partner or spouse has certain credit card debt at all. And this could be years, or maybe it's a second mortgage. So there's a lot of hiding that happens. So I think that's the most important thing, is really just telling each other, mm-hmm. this is what I am. If I'm a saver, great. If I'm a spender, great. But at least you know, and you know what to watch out for, because you don't want to find out 5 years down the road that's what causes the split up.
What about the situation that we hear about with a spouse or a partner later in their life? One dies or they split up and the remaining partner says, he handled all the finances or she handled all the finances. I have no idea. What do you need to do in a young marriage going forward so that everybody's got the information they need?
That's a huge issue, and we have seen that. We see that actually, sadly, quite a bit. I think it is really important, even if one person is the one that actually does the, you know, paying the bills and that sort of thing. Like, for instance, I used to pay the majority of the bills from our joint account just because it was set up through, you know, me. I did it. But I would put an Outlook reminder in my husband's email his Outlook, just so that he knew this is the date this comes out on, this is how much, that sort of thing, so that he knew every single week that if I was, because I, you know, I happened to be able to go out of the country last year for a couple weeks and he was on his own. So if something didn't get paid, that, you know, that's late and that can't happen. We don't want that. So he is still responsible, even if I'm not there to do it. And I think that just needs, like you said, I think that needs to start right away, is there's something, you keep that information handy, keep it in a folder somewhere or on your computer, whatever it might be, so that you can have access to any single debt that you need to pay, bill you need to pay, and that sort of thing, and where it goes. That's huge, because if you don't know and things are late, that can just wreak major havoc on your lives and your credit.
Right. And you both have to be on the same page. Also, we see where maybe they're both still together, but one is, oh, let's pay down our debt. Oh, let's get this and this on track. And the other spouse is checked out, either in the office, arms folded, body turned the other way. I am not doing this. Or doesn't even go to the appointment. Worse yet. And in those cases, that one spouse that wants to get on the right track is going to have a really hard time making any progress when that other spouse is mentally checked out of it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's hard to convince your other spouse to get on track or your partner, but I think having those open, honest conversations and being informed, I might be the one who pays the bills, but my husband is well aware of every bill that we have, and he mm-hmm. is well aware of when they're due and how they need to be paid. So, you know, if you're out of the country or if you're sick or if you're, I had a baby and I was out of commission for a while and he took care of paying all the bills and nothing got missed. So you do have to have those conversations. It boils back down to what we've talked about. You have to talk about money.
Why is it so darn difficult to talk about money? Why is money so emotionally loaded for so many people?
That is a fantastic question. I think it's just depending on that person. I think we all have a lot of guilt. It's stressful. There is shame associated with it. If you have debt, it's like a stigma these days, which it shouldn't be, because there are so many people in that same situation. But it just is. It's just stressful. There's all these different things where your money's kind of pulling back and forth. And then when you have debt and you add relationships and you add work problems and kids and pets and all of this stuff, I think that's just what it boils down to. Money is associated with every aspect of our lives.
I think in our culture, a lot of status is determined by how much money we have, too, keeping up with the Joneses, that mentality. And so maybe if we aren't the greatest money managers, we feel guilty and we feel shame and we want to hide that. And, you know, when we have all of our clients that come in are in different places in life, and some have a lot of money and some have little. And everyone who comes in is afraid. They sit there at the beginning wringing their hands and they're nervous and they look down. And I always open our sessions with, I just want you to know that you are so brave for coming into this appointment right now, because you are taking the first step in getting control of your finances, whether it's a budget, credit report review, whether it's going through and getting control of your credit cards. You know, they're taking that first step. And I think that we just have to overcome those feelings. Every one of us, even a lot of times I'm giving advice, and inside I'm thinking, I need to be following this advice.
Yep.
We know the answers, but even still, we all deal with that same exact feeling of guilt and shame, and it's not about being perfect, but it's about in the progress we're making and taking those steps towards repairing some decisions we've made. One other little tidbit, if it normally causes a lot of tension in the house to talk about it, and you know that if we sit around the kitchen table, it's going to end in screaming and fighting, go to a coffee shop. Go somewhere where you're in public and you're less likely to lose control and talk about the money. You know, once a week, have every Sunday afternoon or every Monday or whenever, and go and sit down together and say, okay, here's our bills. And it'll keep each other in check because there's a lot of other people watching you, and you're going to act on your best behavior in those circumstances.
And that's exactly what I was going to point out too. Don't just think that you can have the conversation one time. This conversation has to happen on a regular basis, whether it be once a week, once a month, you know, whatever you require, quarterly, whatever it is, as long as it's more than once. One time really won't do a whole lot for you. And a little shameless plug, I think that's too, if you're that couple that neither one of you have ever really looked at your finances, it is a great step to find a, you know, a consumer credit counseling agency that does that for free. You know, a good trusted place that you can go to like us or anybody, you know, other agencies. But it really is putting it on the table and having somebody set that out for you when you have no idea what you're doing can be really helpful. I did it when I first started, and it really helped me a lot. And I'm one of the lucky ones, though. My husband, the only reason Jen and I aren't similar with our relationships is my husband actually was a financial counselor too. So again, we're one of the freak relationships, I think, where we're actually on the same page.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. We're having awkward conversations about money this evening, and our guests in the studio are Elena Johansson, Program Director with Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota, and Jenna Perez, a Financial Counselor with Lutheran Social Services Financial Counseling.
Our final topic to consider has to do with aging parents. The majority of our aging parents are people who don't want to talk about money. It's private, it's personal. You have aging parents, maybe you're wondering, are they able to still pay their bills? Maybe you're wondering, is there money for a nursing home? Maybe you're wondering what's there. The conversations that you have with your aging parents about money have to do with safety, have to do with independence, have to do with greed, have to do with autonomy or the loss thereof, have to do with privacy or the loss thereof. It would seem that 99% of these conversations are loaded with emotional baggage that have nothing to do with, nothing and yet everything to do with some huge, huge issues. So if you're not blessed to grow up in a family like I was, where my folks saw this happening and made appropriate plans and opened appropriate discussions about this and took matters into their own hands so that they were not left to the kids. Where and how do you start, especially knowing that you may be lighting a match and throwing it into a little puddle of gasoline by doing so?
I think you just first, like anything else, you just first have that conversation. And I think, you know, when you mentioned compassion, I think that's really important in this situation too. You know, be compassionate and be there, and just basically you want to show your concern right away. This is coming from a place of concern, not I'm not judging you. I'm not trying to say that you don't know how to manage your money, but really I want to make sure that you're okay and that you're going to be okay moving forward. The other thing that we see a lot too is, you know, with elderly, you know, parents or grandparents or whatever it is, depending on who's with them, is not having that planned out for the future. They don't have a will. They don't have anything like that at all. And that happens a lot. And that can actually cause more problems with brothers and sisters and who's going to get what. So I think one of the biggest pieces is making sure, you know, do you have, we don't want to talk about it. It's morbid. I didn't want to talk it with my parents, but we did. Do you have that will? Do you have everything in place so that you know who's going to take care of what, especially if you have six siblings or kids, who is going to be in charge of what, or, you know, all of that stuff. So it's again, initiating that conversation and making sure that there's a plan in place for the future. That's step one, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not easy. If it's not easy talking to your spouse about money, how much harder to talk to your parents? You know, they raised you and there's a level of respect. But, you know, it all comes to how are they going to receive it? If you come and say, Mom, how much money do you have in the bank account? What have you been doing? You know, they're going to feel judged and condemned and they're going to put their walls up and shut down and not share a word. But if you come at it with a compassionate heart, as is you were mentioning, it's going to change everything. And I think it is a conversation that needs to happen, whether it's getting an attorney and getting, you know, the estate in order. What's going to happen when you sell your house? Is there money set aside for a nursing home? The amount you have to pay in a nursing home is just outrageous. And getting all of those kind of things in order, are you going to be okay? And that's part of the responsibility of the kid to help their parents, I think, at some point.
One of the things that my parents did, they had their wills made up, and they did that in their 40s and 50s. And I would imagine that these conversations would be much easier to have with a parent in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, than waiting until that parent is in their 80s or 90s, or the conversation comes on the heels of discovering, oh my God, Dad shouldn't be driving anymore, or right, Mom hasn't been paying the bills.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it should be the earlier the better. Like you said, you're not going to do it when, you know, you're 18 necessarily, but yes, around that point of the 40s and 50s, I think it's good to initiate that conversation, because then down the road, if you get to the point where there's harder things to talk about, it's going to be a little bit easier because at least you've opened that door. And I watched, you know, this happened to my grandmother. There was really nothing in place at that point. And so that kind of fell on my mom just because we happened to live in the same area as she did. And so it can take a lot of pressure off of one child if everybody's involved in that too. So I would say especially if you have siblings, if you have two or three of you to talk with your parent together, so that it just doesn't fall on one person, because that was really hard for her, just her alone taking care of her and moving her into the nursing home and packing up her stuff. And so yeah, it's a big deal.
I also think sometimes having multiple siblings or a third party, a neutral third party, to be there and to help out with certain circumstances. I have had a daughter mother in my office I don't know how many times, because maybe the mom has a ton of credit card debt or their home is in foreclosure. And it's just, if the daughter says anything, the mom's not going to listen to it. She's attacking her. But if a neutral third party, if I say the exact same thing the daughter was saying, because of my position and them coming into my office, she will receive it on a completely different level, and I'm not attacking her. And every single time that has happened and I walk the clients out, the daughter turns or the son turns and looks at me and says, thank you. You said what I couldn't say. And so it is nice to sometimes bring a third person in, whether it's a counselor in our situation, a financial counselor, or if it's just a neutral friend, or, you know, somebody that's involved in both of your lives.
Sometimes I think we forget that there are things that we don't know, that if we have to wait until we learn them in progress, it would have saved us a lot of trouble. Have the conversation with parents, with your parent or parents, before it needs to happen.
Yes.
Before you're worried about them living alone, before you're worried about them driving, before you're worried about them not being able to pay their bills, have the conversation with them, and then maybe ask them to go with you to a financial counselor. Sometimes I think people might balk at the idea of, you know, an attorney might be expensive,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, I want to go pay money to talk about dying.
Right.
But it sounds like LSS might be a good place for people to go.
Yeah, it's really about, we don't do the financial piece or help with wills or that sort of thing, you know, but it really is, especially if there's debt involved and budget planning and just things that could affect people down the road, whether it's, you know, the parents even being able to retire or having to wait, you know, to retire. That's a big deal. And that's where we can kind of really help and get people on the same page, I think.
Community Conversations is a monthly program here on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson. We'd like to thank our guests this evening, Elena Johansson, Program Director with Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota, and Jenna Perez, a financial counselor with Lutheran Social Services Financial Counseling. Community Conversations is produced by Lisa Johnson and funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.